Hey guys, we have a new sponsor, AvidGamerWear.com. It's a video game apparel company. It's a new brand starting out for video game players. We all play video games, don't we, Aaron?
That's right.
That's what we do when we're not on the mat. We have a controller in our hand, and the guys at AvidGamerWear are super cool dudes. Hit them up at AvidGamerWear.com and let them know that the Jiu-Jitsu Geeks sent you.
Thanks for the sponsorship, guys.
Just to let you guys know, Hanzo Gracie loves the Jiu-Jitsu Geeks. Extending control. A buckle and bump,
redirect your force. Hey guys, welcome to the Jiu-Jitsu Geeks podcast. I'm joined as always by my co-host, E.T. This is Aaron. We're missing one of our members, Brian, who couldn't make it. He might roll in a little late, so we'll hope for the best with that, whatever that may be. Ha, it's a joke from Brian listens to this.
Him not being here is the best.
We can pick on him. But we're fortunate enough to have Clark Gracie on the phone with us. Clark, how you doing, man?
Hey, I'm doing good, guys. Thanks for having me.
Hey, thanks for taking the time. I know you're busy, so we will jump right into this. We appreciate you taking the time out of your busy schedule. So, Clark, talk to us a little bit about your background. You obviously have the magic name in jiu-jitsu, being a Gracie. But tell us who your father is and talk a little bit, I guess, going back one more to your grandfather and just your lineage in the Gracie family.
My father, his name is Carl A. Gracie. He's an academy in San Francisco, and he was actually the first one to bring jiu-jitsu to the United States and also to Europe and start teaching over here in the U.S. In 1972.
Where was his first school, Clark?
His first school, I believe, was in San Francisco, but I'm not sure. He might have had a place in Florida. He originally came to New York, and before he was even teaching in Virginia at a Marine base.
We're not too far from that base, actually. We're in Virginia, and we always hear about that, and it's a point of pride for us, so just want a clarification.
I think it might be called Quantico or something like that.
Yeah, that's about an hour from us.
Yeah, that's right. Exactly. Cool. And then, of course, your grandfather, Carlos Gracie. Yeah, exactly. Well, that's kind of one of the first things I wanted to get into, Clark, because the reason that I tracked you down and hounded you to get you on here was I followed you through competition. You know, you're always on the competition scene. And then, you know, reading a little bit about you, I found out the story of your father, Virginia, and then going to California and San Francisco in the 70s. And it occurred to me that you were born in the United States and you were that first generation to train here, you know, and what was that like for you? I mean, where did you grow up and when did you start training?
Well, I grew up in Northern California in San Francisco, and I started training. I remember, like, you know, just my dad showing me little things here and there, me and my sister, you know, when we were, like, probably 5 years old. It's, like, my first memory is letting, like, Mato Leon choke, you know, in the living room and stuff like that, little takedown and stuff. And then when I first really started, like, focusing on training and, you know, actually going to the academy and getting serious, I was probably, like, 10. And then when I was 12, I remember seeing, like, some of my cousins and guys I knew, like Victor Belfort, and was kind of like a son to my Uncle Carlson, and also guys like Hals and Hanzo, you know, guys I knew about my other cousins, and Hanzo and Hoyce, they were also starting to fight, you know, in the UFC and other MMA events. They were just getting started at the time, so I thought, well, if I want to, you know, ever be good one day, I better start taking this seriously, so... It was around that age, like 11, 12, that I started going pretty much every day to the academy and focusing on that.
Now, Now, when you started in the United States, jiu-jitsu was not big at all yet. I guess there was some scene on the West Coast. It was certainly non-existent too much on the East Coast. But what was that like for you? I mean, you're training this in the United States, somewhat obscure martial art, probably up through until high school, I would guess, until it got real popular for you. Were your friends like, what in the heck are you doing? What is this Brazilian jiu-jitsu? Were you constantly defining it for folks and your friends and stuff like that?
Yeah, interesting. I think around middle school was already the time when, you know, Hoyt had already started fighting and the UFC, you know, the first few UFCs had already, you know, gotten started. So people already, you know, a few people that were into that kind of thing, you know, started to know about it. And, you know, they, you know, do the last name and then talk to me about it. But, you know, I find it interesting too because, you know, competition in the U.S. is now so big. And I believe that some of the first jiu-jitsu tournaments in the U.S. was in Santa Cruz by Claudio França.
Yeah.
I think that was around, I don't know, still early 90s too. So I was probably, I mean, I was a young guy, like probably like 12 or 14 or something like that. Around the first, I believe that was the first jiu-jitsu tournaments like ever in the U.S. So kind of interesting how that's evolved.
Were you expected to compete in those tournaments, Clark? Or was it something that your family gave you the option to do?
Yeah, I was never really forced into it, you know, until, like, you know, I think I was getting more expected to do it once, you know, I got a little bit older, you know, like older teens, like around 18, 17. But, yeah, I mean, they really, I remember one time, I think I was like 15, and I decided I wanted to go into the division, like enter the division, I think it was a blue belt. And there was nobody in my division, you know, I was like 130 pounds. And you know, it was much smaller back then, you know, so
right.
There was like the divisions were a lot smaller and wasn't like it is now, you know. So
right.
I didn't really start competing a lot until I was like 18 or even like when I really started going at it, I was like already 20, 21, something like that.
You were probably teaching a lot by then, weren't you?
Yeah, I mean, I was always involved in the academy. Since I was a little kid, and then by the time I was like 16, I was already starting to help my dad in the academy and take over some classes. So, you know, yeah, just kind of growing up around it, you know, it was part of like our daily routine, pretty much.
Yeah, you have a great perspective because you were right in the middle of where it really launched in the United States, and it's certainly gotten popular over the years. And I imagine as it got popular and, you know, people started coming to it, you were just there waiting. I've been doing it for years before that. So that's a cool experience.
Yeah, I'm sorry. Can you repeat the question again?
Yeah, I was just saying that growing up, you know, you were there in the United States right in the middle of it in the hotbed in California. And that had to just be a great experience to see it grow. And you were already in the academy, you know, already there doing it as the popularity grows. So you had a front row seat to the explosion of jiu-jitsu, which I imagine was really, really, really interesting and cool to see.
Yeah, it was really cool to see it all, you know, basically start from nothing, you know, and grow into what it is today, which, you know, it's become like really popular, especially in California and some areas of the East Coast, all over the U.S. I think every country in the world pretty much has jiu-jitsu now, and
yeah.
Well,
Clark, jumping ahead a little bit in your history, you compete a lot. You run a school. What's your normal? I know you compete a lot, but when you're not getting ready for competition, what's your normal training schedule like? Jiu-jitsu and anything that you might supplement it with strength and conditioning or anything like that. Just what's your normal daily routine?
I try to not change my routine too much from like when I'm competing to when I'm not competing, just because, you know, I've done that before, and it's kind of hard to make that big switch, you know, from like, you know, your diet and before I compete, I just kind of step it up a little bit, step it up a notch, and train a little bit harder, train a little bit more serious. But I try to keep the same routine. You know, I pretty much just get my hard training out in the morning, and then in the afternoon I might teach a class or do some kind of physical training, you know. And then in the evening I usually teach another class. So pretty much, you know, it doesn't change too much. I just get a little bit more focused, take it a little bit more seriously, you know, a little bit more strict with my schedule before tournaments, but try not to make like a drastic change in the way I eat or in the way I work out, because really, like, you know, I try to keep myself actually always ready, you know, for a tournament, you know, just and make it a lifestyle, you know, doing what we do, you know, and treating it as a real profession. You know, you have to take it as a lifestyle. You know, one of my trainers said, okay, this is your workout for you to do, and I was like, man, that's tough. And he said, well, this is your job, right?
Right.
It's a hobby, you know? Well, yeah, it's my job. So I look at it thinking, this is going to be tough. Just look at what I'm doing. But, you know, when I stop and say, well, I'm a... This is my profession, right? This is how I make a living. This is my job, and I'm not just a jiu-jitsu bum. Did this for a hobby, you know. I'll do this for my life, for, you know, and take it seriously. So make that change, you know, towards the better.
Well, I love watching you guys. I love watching you compete and all the top level guys compete. But I can't imagine what it takes to get to that level. The sacrifice. You know, we do it as a hobby, so there's not a whole lot of pressure on us. But when you do it as a profession, you're right. It takes on another meaning. Your training takes on a whole another meaning.
Yeah, you know, jiu-jitsu has its benefits no matter what, like how you train. I mean, you train seriously or you're just training for a hobby, you know, and it's a great, great thing to add to your life.
Right.
You know, but, yeah, you know, great thing.
Yeah. Well, Clark, speaking about your competition and your strength and conditioning and diet, and your grandfather was certainly instrumental in laying down a lot of philosophies about jiu-jitsu and the lifestyle of it and the diet. Do you follow the Gracie diet as it was originally laid out, or have you varied from that?
Into all the food combinations, you know, a lot of fruits you don't mix together, different foods you don't mix together. But from what I was led to understand is you know, everything is based upon being able to absorb the maximum amount from the food that you're eating, and also facilitate digestion, you know, so that you're able to finish training and within a short amount of time, be able to go train again, or, you know, and facilitate the metabolism so everything runs smoothly within your body, you know, which is also a huge part of your training, you know, is your nutrition and how you eat. As I'm sure everybody's experienced, you know, eating something that didn't go through very well, and you go train, you feel it while you're training, and, you know, so my grandfather did a lot of experimenting on that with his body and with his through diet, you know, and I mean, really, it's an athlete's diet. It's made to make it the easiest way to perform as an athlete. So yeah, I try to do it the best I can. You know, it can be pretty difficult sometimes, but you know, as far as like trying to just control what you combine in your diet, you know, I try to do that to make it so I don't feel very heavy, you know, makes it easy to go train later or the next day.
It's probably easier to stick to that diet when the diet was conceived, your family, they were in Brazil and they weren't traveling everywhere, but it's harder to stick to a strict diet when you're on the road a lot and competing and traveling to different countries. So I can imagine it gets more difficult the more hectic your lifestyle is.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. When you're traveling, it does make it a little bit more difficult. pretty much everything, everywhere you go, you know, even if you're eating out, you can always kind of choose something or maybe take away something. But it is it can be kind of make things a little more complicated when you're, you know, having dinner at somebody's house or, you know, something like that, and you know, you're avoiding eating certain foods because you choose, you know, for example, you're eating pasta, you know, you're not going to have like a side of any kind of potatoes or rice or something like that.
Right, right.
Because you know, it's not going to digest as well for you. So,
well, Clark, I know you're busy, but before we let you go, I got to ask the son of Carly Gracie, the grandson of Carlos Gracie, do you have a favorite story from either your father or your grandfather, or piece of advice that they gave you over the years?
There's so many stories in my family. It catch me off guard a little bit. But,
sorry.
I don't know. My advice, you know, just, I can tell you my advice, things that I've absorbed is from my family and from my dad and just growing up around it, is just, you know, if you're, you know, you want to take the most benefit out of jiu-jitsu, is just kind of make it part of your life, you know, just not that your life has to revolve around jiu-jitsu, but use jiu-jitsu as kind of like a guide to having a better life, you know, and not thinking about it just as, you know, something that you go and do like a fight club. We're not just like a fight club where people get together and just bang each other around and roll around and beat each other up, you know, but actually making it, you know, part of your life, you know, creating, getting the friendships that you make out of it, you know, absorbing the jiu-jitsu philosophy and, you know, absorbing the most out of it, you know, and it's really a priceless gift that, that you can, it's actually an investment that people make into themselves, right? And, you know, can, you know, not only physically, but mentally and spiritually changes your life in ways that it's hard to explain if you don't do jiu-jitsu and hard to understand, you know, but I think everywhere I go around traveling and doing seminars in places and see the way people run their academies and meeting the students in different places, and majority of the time, almost every time, everybody has the same, you know, good values, good spirit, good energy, and I think it's just a beautiful, just like big jiu-jitsu family, you know.
Yeah.
And I'm really, really honored to be a part of it and see, you know, what my family has been able to spread around the world and see so many people be able to reap the benefits of that. So, awesome.
Well, we're honored to have you on here, Clark. Thank you for your time. Let me ask you, where can people find you on the web, on Twitter, on Instagram? Can you tell us your contact information so people can follow you or maybe drop by your school?
Yeah, my Instagram is just my name, Clark Gracie, and my website is clarkgracie.com. Facebook, also, you know, something I use, Clark Gracie or Clark Gracie Jiu-Jitsu. And I have my main headquarters school in San Diego, California.
Okay.
Actually, in northern San Diego, in La Jolla. And yeah, so I'm always there. And, you know, always doors open to visitors, and you know, you go and have some good jiu-jitsu training. Anybody who wants to come in, so more than welcome to everyone.
Well, thank you, Clark. Do you have any seminars coming up anywhere?
I'm sorry, any what?
Do you have any seminars anywhere you'd like to promote coming up?
Yeah, I'm actually right now. I'm on a little tour. I just finished a 2-day seminar at one of my affiliate schools here in Kalamazoo, Michigan, is where I am right now. And I'm about to take off in a few minutes to go to Chicago, a couple hours away. And I'm going to be at Adam Redzivik's school in Gracie Baja Loop. And then after that, the next day in New Breed Academy in northern Chicago with Mark Vives. And then a couple days after that, I'm going to Denver to Amal Easton in Boulder, Colorado, before I head back home. And I'm thinking about possibly going to the San Francisco Open Jiu-Jitsu tournament this weekend as well, competing in that. So
awesome.
We'll see. It should be a big week.
yeah, that's busy. Well, Clark, thank you for the time in the midst of all your travels, and we wish you luck if you do compete this weekend. And thanks again, man.
Thank you, Clark.
All right. Yeah, thanks so much, guys. It was a pleasure, and hope to talk to you guys again sometime.
Yeah, all right, absolutely.
Well, that was pretty good.
Yeah, that was a great interview. Like a lot of ours, you know, these guys that you want to talk to are super busy. So you're always catching them, like the Henzo one was so short, you know, we're catching him on the way to a fight. As Clark was saying, I've been back and forth with Clark for a couple days. You know, all the jiu-jitsu geeks have full-time jobs, so we like to do these on the weekend. But with Clark's schedule, we had, you know, this is a Monday that we're doing it. You just got to grab them when you can. And I know all of them, and Clark especially, like he says, at the airport right now, you're going to jump on a plane. So it's always cool when the guys will take the time to – out of that schedule to have a conversation with you. But,
especially stuff that they do constantly.
Yeah.
You know, it may get a little boring for them to talk about it, but somebody like Clark, he just, you know, he gives a lot of really good details, information, and, you know, it's so cool.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, I wanted to get Clark, just looking around on the internet, he competes so much, and he has the last name Gracie, but, you know, there's not a whole lot out there about him. And I always liked that first generation. I kept going around to it at the beginning of the interview, but I just can't imagine, you know, those young guys, they're training and then the jiu-jitsu boom hits.
And all of a sudden they're like in the spotlight.
Yeah. And they're doing this cool sport that they've probably always had to define in high school and middle school.
Like, and now people are coming to them. And,
what do you do again? I mean, even as obscure as it is now, imagine in the 90s, the early 90s, or before the first UFC. Oh, my gosh.
Yeah.
You know, my family has this martial art, Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu.
We kind of created it.
We kind of invented this. They're like, yeah, right. Who's this joker? I mean, you know, and then all of a sudden it hits, and you're just waiting on the mats for this big surge of folks to start coming in, especially on the West Coast.
Yeah. There's always that what people say, if you're talented, the world will beat a path to your door.
Yes.
And that's what happened in America with jiu-jitsu.
Yeah.
You know, these guys were doing this for a while, for a long time, and then the world caught on, and they became super, super busy and popular.
Yeah.
They were just waiting for it.
Yeah, absolutely. Especially Clark being young and, you know, that again, that first generation training solely in the United States.
Yeah.
You know, no Brazil training. So it was with their family that they had available.
Right.
So that's really cool, and we really appreciate Clark taking the time out of his travels to chat with us. So
hey, if anybody wants to drop us a line and give us some feedback, where can they find us, Aaron?
JiuJitsuGeeks.com.
That is our website. You can also get us at Twitter at the Jiu-Jitsu Geek.
Yep, and our Instagram is, thanks to Brian, is probably our social media that is the most active.
Right.
So that's if you're on Instagram, try to find us there. Because, again, Brian handles that, and he's really done a great job with it.
Loves to take photos, that Brian.
Loves to take photos. Thankfully, we edit them before we let him post them.
Yeah, they're not all friendly.
They're not at all. Or jiu-jitsu related. Several would have gotten us sued. So
we're also on Facebook.
Yes.
We're also on Facebook, where you can hit us up at jiujitsugeeks@gmail.com.
And real quick, before we jump, E.T., Redefining a Geek, you have a new podcast.
I have a new podcast.
What's it about? Jiu-jitsu?
No, sirree, Bob. It's about video games. What we all do off the mat, right? Everybody plays video games.
Hey.
That's how you de-stress. I have a company called Avid Gamer, where you can go there at avidgamerware.com. It'll be, the podcast is already recorded. It's in the books. It'll be on iTunes in the next few days. But avidgamerware.com. Follow me at Twitter at avidgamerware.
Wear like clothing that you wear. Not,
it's an apparel brand. It's an apparel brand. So it's avidgamer, WEAR. So thanks for bringing that up, Aaron.
Hey, not a problem. I haven't listened to the first one yet. It's up on my queue.
Oh, it's funny.
And I was going to listen to it today, but then I find out that somebody a little more important than you is on Adam Carolla podcast.
Yeah.
A few people named Gracie. So I might listen to that first. But I'll get to it this afternoon.
I'll listen to Adam Carolla before I listen to mine anyway. So.
All right, guys. We appreciate it. Clark, thank you for your time. Safe travels. And if you're in any of the areas, I'm sitting here thinking of how many hours away it is to Ohio from where I'm sitting. And if I can possibly swing that, I think it'd be a great seminar. So if you're near there, get in contact with the Academy owners. I wouldn't miss that if I was in a few hours driving distance at all. So, all thanks, right. Guys.
Thank you.